Good evening.
Welcome, all of you who are here in the sanctuary and those of you who are watching online. We are so glad that you have come to worship in this particularly contemplative way. The contemplative way is one of more listening than talking. That's why we have a lot of silence in the service. The singing doesn't count as talking because we sing to keep our monkey mind busy so that it's not constantly interrupting the peace. During the service, we sing these chants that come from the community of Tizay, France. We sing them over and over again because it's the repetition that keeps our monkey mind quiet. You may sing them in any language you wish. We will sing some in Latin and some in English, but you may sing all in English, or there's one that's in Spanish. So if you know Spanish and want to sing it in Spanish, nada te torbe is just go for it. Because this service is one of quieting the mind, opening the heart, and therefore feeding the soul. The songs are short and repeated. And I will at one point do a guided meditation before the longer silence. Some of you are used to long silences. Some of you are not. And so I'll give you a little help. And then we'll have the healing portion that, and I'll give more instructions for that. But right now we will begin with our songs.
Now on the first day of the week, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "That things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in the deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' As they came near the village to which we were going, he walked ahead as if we were going. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread."
An excerpt from The Eyes of Jesus by John Donahue. I imagine the eyes of Jesus were harvest brown, the light of their gazing suffused with the seasons, the shadow of winter, the mind of spring, the blues of summer, and amber of harvest. A gaze that is perfect sister to the kindness that dwells in his beautiful hands. The eyes of Jesus gaze on us, stirring in the hearts of clay the confidence of seasons that never lose their way to harvest. This gaze knows the signature of our heartbeat, the first glimmer from the dawn that dreamed our minds, the crevices where thoughts grow, long before the longing in the bone sends them towards the mind's eye. Forever falling softly on our faces, his gaze plies the soul with light, laying down a luminous layer beneath our brief and brittle days until the appointed dawn comes, assured and harvest deft, the unravel of the last knot, and we are back home in the house that we have never left.
We come to the part of the service where we engage in a longer silence. So this is a meditation that came to me while I was reading a book called The Heart of Centering Prayer by Cynthia Bourgeau. This is not in the book, but I was inspired by it. So as we get ready for this longer silence where the Spirit of God can move more deeply, as we lightly close our eyelids, we notice how we are sitting, either on the chair, the pew, the floor, wherever you are sitting. And notice how there are bones at the bottom of our torso that we call sit bones, and that they are making connection with the pew or the chair or the floor, leaving your legs free. And then from that, your curvy spine comes up and supports your head. Ours is an incarnational religion, which means that we believe that the Word became flesh and that each of us is a Word of God. And so noticing how our physical being is really important. So you might bring your awareness to your breath. Don't have to fix it or make it anything else than what it is. The ribs are moving in and out, and the breath is going in and out. And it does that all our lives. And the word for breath and the word for spirit is the same in many languages. And in Latin, spiritus means spirit, and it also has something to do with breath. We get our word inspiration from that. So here we are inspired with the Holy Spirit just by noticing our breath. And then to connect the wisdom seat with the heart space, if you bring your awareness to that place above your nose, right in the forehead where in the pandemic, earliest days, they were taking temperatures. If you follow it in your imagination back into the middle of your head, right between your ears, behind your nose, this is about the top of your spine. The wisdom seat is also known as the sixth chakra in the East. It is the seat of wisdom, and we're going to bring that space down, the seven cervical vertebrae, into our heart space. So we are going to combine wiseness, wisdom, and love. So we make the first step down. And the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. Now we're at the gateway to the chest where the physical heart resides. There's evidence that the magnetic field that is generated by the heart extends as much as 3 feet all around us. And so now we've brought wisdom into that heart space so that we have wise compassion and compassionate wisdom. In this heart space is everyone you've ever known and loved or will know. All the great company of heaven, the great cloud of witnesses, all of creation, including far-flung galaxies, and of course the divine itself. So during this silence, when your mind wanders, just bring, you can put your hand over your heart, your hands, you can notice your breath, and just bring yourself back without worrying. And so we'll be silent for about 10 minutes. Jesus was a man of deep prayer, and his disciples saw that. And they said, "Will you teach us to pray?" And so he taught them, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The next portion of our service is dedicated to allowing you an opportunity to come forward for healing prayer. There have been enough things happening in recent weeks to burden us terribly, and we need a place to come and lay our burdens down. And the altar rail is one of the places. The Reverend Kay Gray will be there to pray with you and for you, and she will anoint you with oil in the tradition of the church, if that is your wish. You may pray for yourself. You may pray for someone else. You may pray for a situation. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. The rings of prayer keep going out, and the Lord multiplies them. So be not afraid. And I always think of Jesus in Gethsemane with what I think is the perfect prayer. He asked for what he wanted, "If this cup could pass." And then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So we ask boldly for what we want, and we leave the outcome to God. We will be singing, and that allows the people that come up a little bit of privacy, and it keeps the prayer energy going. And now go forth from this place, taking this peace, this presence with you, for God is always there, even if it is hidden from us because of our busyness. Go forth in peace, and may the peace of God go with you.